Genesis chapter number 26. Isaac, what a godly man, what a blessed man, but a man, and a man that didn't always get everything right. A man, if we put his life under the microscope, we can find some shortcomings like anyone. But in Genesis chapter number 26 and verse number 12, we read this: "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Here's the verse we'll be drawing your attention to, and we're going to get a little formula here, a formula out of verse number 12, and then the results of that formula in verse number 13. "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Now, kind of break that down in your mind. We'll be doing it in the message, but think about verse 13. "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us to learn from this one of your Lord choice servants, and certainly a patriarch of the children of Israel. And Lord, we want to just take this few verses, Lord, inspired and preserved for us today, and Lord, profitable, the Bible says, to us today, and we would like to learn from it. Help us as we plan, Lord, ahead, looking into a brand new year, and as we take a minute this morning and look back, may we then decide to go forward, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I want you to look at these two verses again. I'm going to draw from verse number 12 a simple formula, and then verse number 13, we're going to look at the results of that formula. But Isaac, of course, was a man that was blessed of God. Here we see him literally in a couple verses go from poverty to riches, to go from an average man to a blessed man. Matter of fact, the Bible uses the term very great. And I'm not preaching a message about materialism. I want to draw spiritual truth from this. You say, "Preacher, is it wrong for a man to want to be great?" I think if he wants to be great for the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. I think if he wants to be great for himself, then he probably needs to assess his motives. But here we see Isaac did something in verse number 12. Now, let me give you a very simple formula here. Brother Isaac discovered an important formula. Here it is: be industrious, be blessed. Be industrious, be blessed. Young people, are you hearing me? Be industrious, be blessed. Now notice in verse number 12, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." And so we see that he did two things, or did one thing and then received one thing from the Lord. He sowed. He became industrious. And then because he became industrious and because the work that he did was pleasing to the Lord, God chose to bless him. Now, let me give you this for a minute. I want to get you into a mindset here. It's crazy what we're facing in this country. There is an entitlement mentality that not only has affected a handful of people that are on government aid and welfare, but has infected a culture. And if we want to be blessed in 2013, we need to go back and discover an important formula: be industrious and then be blessed. He sowed and he received in the same year an hundredfold. Watch this. The hundredfold doesn't come if you don't sow. The hundredfold doesn't come if you do not sow. Somebody said once, "Well, boy, it just seems like you see a lot of people saved over there at that church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church." Well, we sow a lot of seed. Are you listening to me? We sow a lot of seed. If you're not going to sow, then why would you expect to reap a harvest? And not only true in God's work, it's true in practical life. Be industrious and then be blessed. Now, that's the simple formula. I wanted to make it simple. I wanted it to be such that you can understand it. But notice, if you will, in verse number 13, we see that this formula, then the result of this formula, the implanting of this formula, the result of it is broken down into four steps here in verse number 13. Notice this: "And the man waxed great." He said this: "I'm going to be industrious, and then I'm going to trust the Lord to bless that." Then what happened? The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. I want to give you this, and this is all kind of an introduction, so bear with me here. This formula began a process of becoming great. This formula began a process of becoming great. He said this, I'm going to be industrious, and I'm going to trust the Lord to bless it. Now, as long as he implemented this formula, he did not overnight become great. But it began a process of becoming great. I love the little word there. Do you see it? The word waxed. The man waxed great. Can I make this statement? Greatness is achieved in layers. Greatness is achieved in layers. I remember when I was over the Christian school, we would almost every year for several years take the young people to Billy Creek Village. How many of you ever been to Billy Creek Village up near Rockville? And it's kind of a historic, by the way, did you know that they were tried to auction that this year, and now they shut it down, and it looks like they're going to sell it off, and I couldn't help but think, oh, they can't do that. Where else do you take kids for field trips in this area? But it's kind of a preserve, for those of you that do not know, a preserved old historic village, and it has buildings that range all the way from the early 1800s to the early 1900s. And if you go there, when they've got their full program going on and all their buildings open, you can see how they lived back in the 1800s. One of the things that our young people always enjoyed doing was making candles. How many of you ever seen that process, all right? Well, they would take basically a piece of wood, and then they would tie a string to it, some kind of a dowel rod, and then that string, that wick, would hang down. They would heat up the wax, and they would dip that string into the wax, and as much wax as would adhere to that, dry on that, they would set over and let it dry for a few minutes and become firm and hard, and then they would dip it in there again. And every time they dipped it in, the candle would get a little bit bigger, and the more times that they consistently repeated, are you getting this? Consistently repeated the process. As many times as they followed the formula, the more times they were willing to do it, the bigger the candle got. Therefore, the more useful it became, the more light it would illuminate, and then also the longer it would last. Now listen to me. This little formula, be industrious, be blessed, is a formula that if you implement it, does not produce automatic greatness. But it is a process that if you repeat it, will cause you to wax great. Greatness is achieved in layers. Greatness is achieved by the repetition of proven formulas. I don't know where you're going to get your formulas, but I think I'll get my formulas for 2013 out of the Word of God. I think I'll study this Bible. I think I'll say, Lord, I want my life to mean something for eternity. You see, folks, every year, I believe this, every year, every individual is given an opportunity to activate this formula. Be industrious, be blessed. Be industrious, be blessed. Be industrious, be blessed. Every year that you'll continue to do that, you know what? You'll begin to wax great. Our work should be of a sort that God will bless. I'm not talking about industry and anything that we choose to do. There's some things, some works that aren't worthy of the Lord. Our work should be of a quality that God would bless. Our work should be of a sort that God would bless. But you know what? When we get the clearance sign from God about the work he's called us to do, and then we're busy about it, God still blesses work. One man said this. He said, you know what? The harder I work, the luckier I get. And what I want to do is change that statement, because I believe this, the harder you work, the more blessed you become. So this formula began a process of becoming great. The man waxed great. Number two, this formula had to be repeated, and the man went forward. Now this is the name of the message. I want to give it to you. Look back, then go forward. Look back, then go forward. You see, this formula had to be repeated. So many times, folks begin the process of be industrious, be blessed, and they repeat it a few times, but then they stop. They become satisfied. They decide that maybe the formula can be substituted with some other formula. And pretty soon they're not being blessed. They're going backwards, not forward. The man went forward. You know what he did? He said, listen, I found something here that works. You know what? If I'm industrious, God will bless it. If I'm industrious, God will bless it. If I'm industrious, God will bless it. But it had to be repeated. The man went forward. Number three, the formula had to be refined. I like this. And the Bible says, and the man grew. Every year Isaac sowed, but each year he learned more about sowing. Now get this. When to sow, where to sow, what to sow, how to sow. He grew. So listen, he repeated, he didn't change the formula, but he grew in his knowledge of how to implement the formula. I suspect that Brother Jack Gordon probably knows more right now about farming than you did 40 years ago. Now, he was doing the same basic things, and he's repeated them year after year after year, and that's what farmers do. But every year that they do it, they get a little... I imagine Brother Don Davis knows a little bit more about farming than he did of 40, 50 years ago. And so, listen, it's not a matter of just repeating the same thing. It's a matter of growing and learning as you repeat it. Every year, Isaac sowed, but each year he learned more about sowing. The formula was not changed. The formula was refined. Now, I'm praying this. I'm praying that in 2012 you grew. The man grew. Did you grow in 2012? First of all, were you industrious? Number two, have you been consistent in being industrious? Number three, have you learned and grown and refined the process of industry? Because I believe this, every year we ought to try to be better than we were the year before. One man said this, a rut is just a grave with two ends knocked out. I like that. You know what? I believe Jerry Ross ought to be smarter in 2013 than I was in 2012. You should be wiser in 2013 than you were in 2012. So we have this. This formula became a process, began a process of becoming great. The man waxed great. This formula had to be repeated. The man went forward. This formula had to be refined. The man grew. And number four, this formula, when repeated and refined, led to further greatness until he became very great. Now listen to what I'm going to say here. I believe that every year we are given an opportunity to become more of what God intended us to be. God wants us to achieve greatness in what he has called us to be and what he has called us to do. Now, that fights against what we're finding in this culture. We have a culture that seems to revel in mediocrity. I don't understand that. The average person is happy being the average person. Most lives are being piddled away instead of miraculously performed. We have, because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, don't forget that. We have, because of what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary, we have as Christians the opportunity to greatly impact the earth below and the heaven above. You can wax great in 2013. Now, I want to give you some good encouragement. I want to give you some good advice. I want to give you some scriptural formulas if you'll help me with this. If you'll let me do this, I want to draw a line right here in the middle of the platform, and I'm going to have this pulpit divide it, but I want you to imagine that this is the beginning of 2012. 2012, my goodness sakes. By the way, where did it go? Didn't it just seem like we just celebrated January 1st, 2012? And so here's the baby, the brand new year. And it progresses, and now it's the old man, and it's beginning to hand off the baton to 2013. So everything to my right is 2012, and everything to my left is 2013. And guess where we stand today? We stand right here. Now, I want to say this. Before we close the book on 2012, and tomorrow night, midnight, it'll be officially ended. Before we totally close the book on 2012, I believe this, that it is wise to look back, but it is also then wiser to go forward. You want to look back, but then you want to move forward. I want to give you a couple simple formulas, I believe, that helps us at this time of the year. I like this time of the year. One of my favorite times of the year is the closing off of one year and the beginning of a new one, because I believe it gives us time for evaluation, and then that evaluation ought to energize us into wanting to be more for the Lord and do better for the Lord and better represent the Lord than we've ever had before. Our revival theme, you know what? Our theme for 2013, Revival Through Remembrance, carries that thought. Let's look back at what the Lord has done. Let's look back at the previous years. But let's not just stand here and look back. Let's turn around with excitement and passion and go forward with all that God's taught us
through these previous years. Now, let me give you some encouragement and good advice as you stand here with me, getting ready to close off 1 year and getting ready to enter another year. Number one, let's look back. Watch this. Let's look back and confess, and let's go forward clean. Let's go back and confess, and let's look forward clean. Now, I think one of the most important things that we can do as we start 2013 is to start it clean. Start it clean. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. As you ask the Holy Spirit, not just in this message, but I would pray that you would exercise this the rest of today and throughout tomorrow. Before you close out 2012, I would ask you with me to make sure that we have confessed the sins that we have committed in 2012. Now you say, preacher, you're making an assumption there. I mean, you've just addressed us as if we're all sinners. Well, I've got a book here that says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I've got a book here that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've got a Bible here that says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've got a Bible here that says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But let me say this. In between 1 John 1:8 and 1 John 1:10 is a wonderful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to get this and really grasp it. I do not care what kind of year 2012 was for you spiritually. I don't care. Because you know what? The honest truth is, there's no rewind button, there's no redos, there's nothing you can do about it now except to look back and say, Lord, where I have sinned and where I have failed you, Lord, I want to confess that. Listen, do not take unconfessed sins into a new year. Let's start the year clean. Let's start the year clean. Listen to me. I believe this with all my heart. Please, some of you right now, the Satan is oppressing with this thought. Here's what he's telling you. He's telling you, you know what? You had a lousy year spiritually in 2012, and all you can look forward to is more of a lousy year spiritually, and he is a liar. He is a liar. The Indianapolis Colts last season won 2 games. What, right, Brother Jeffrey? 2 games. And you know what? They were the worst in the NFL. They're going to the playoffs. Are they going to the playoffs? They're going to the playoffs. Now, here's what the great spiritual truth behind that is. Watch this. You can go from worst to first. I don't care how bad, preacher, I'm going to tell you what. Of all my Christian life, last year was the worst spiritual year of my life. You know what? I'm telling you, based on the authority of the Bible, that doesn't have a thing to do with 2013. I have watched Christians go from the worst year spiritually to the best year spiritually. You know what? Because they simply said this. I'm not carrying that junk, that unconfessed sin, that guilt, those stains. I am not carrying that into a new year. I am not going to cross this threshold with any unconfessed sin. I'm going to look back and I'm going to do business with God. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with anybody that I maybe have ought against. I'm going to go into a brand new year clean, and I'm telling you, based on the authority of the Bible, if we confess our sin, he, based on his faithfulness, he, based on his justness, is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to me, get this. Can I be transparent with you? My junior year of high school was the worst spiritual year of my life. My senior year of high school was one of the best spiritual years of my life. So don't look up here and tell me it can't be done. I don't care what you've done or what you haven't done. I don't care how far away you've drifted from the Lord. I don't care how backslidden you've gotten in 2012. You know what? There is a forgiving God that sits here on the threshold of a brand new year and says, bring me those sins. I died for those sins. I'll give you a new start. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, I want to be an encourager. I want to come alongside some of you young people and listen to me. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. I want to come beside some of you that have struggled, and you know what? You've been overcome with things, and you've had some failings, and you've had some flaws, and I want to come alongside you and say, you know what, it doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and you do not have to drag that anymore into your life, into a new year. You can ask God to forgive it, and he will. You can start fresh, and you can have the best year spiritually you have ever had in your life. I believe that. But you've got to start the year clean. True confession is personal confession. We won't take the time, but if you go to Luke 15, you know what? You see a man that had a bad year, the prodigal son. And then you see he came to himself. And then you know what? He went and confessed, got things right with God, got things right with his father. And guess what? He had a great next year. Don't tell me it can't be done in your life. I'm so thankful. By the way, I want to brag on. I'd just love to call names. I'm not going to. But I am so thankful for some of the decisions that I've watched some of you make in 2012. I've watched people with sin in their life come to me in tears and say, "Preacher, I can't go like this anymore. I got to get this thing right. I've got to get this thing fixed." And you know what? I've watched a holy anointing come upon those people as they stopped dragging around all this unconfessed sin, all this bad behavior, and they took it and laid it at the foot of the cross and got victory on it. And you know what? They are smiling and they are happy and they're excited about the things of God. That can be your story. Number one, start the year clean. Look back. Let's look back and confess, then let's go forward clean. Number two, let's look back at failures and let's go forward wiser. Let's look back at failures and let's go forward wiser. See, not only should we start 2013 clean, we should start 2013 smarter. Every year of your life will include failure. Failure. Well, I didn't fail at anything in 2012, preacher. Well, then you didn't attempt much in 2012. Because if you attempt much, then you know what? Certain things are going to fail. You're going to mess up. I wrote for the teen devotional. I read this from time to time, but I wrote this years ago. Tony Brown, the curse of my life, Brother Tony Brown, always sending me emails wanting more articles for Glow in the Dark devotional. But I wrote this devotional back in 2002. I believe this with all my heart. Based on this verse, "For a just man falls seven times and riseth up again." The devotional title is "My Strange Close Friend." Could I get Brother Davis, would you flip on the air back there? And that would help us get a little air moving. If we get somebody to turn the fan on a little bit, it's going to help everybody out just a bit. Listen very carefully. Pay attention to me, not the fan, not Brother Davis. All right? "My Strange Close Friend." I have a strange close friend. When I was a teenager, I thought he was my enemy. When he came to me, as he often did, I would refuse to commune with him. I would not listen to what he was trying to tell me. Sometimes I would hesitate to try things that were difficult or seemingly impossible because it was during these times that he would often appear. My unwillingness to recognize him as a friend kept me from accomplishing many things. Together, time and wisdom finally convinced me to sit down and talk with him. I'll tell you the truth, it wasn't easy. He told me things about myself that weren't very flattering, but they were true. But he didn't stop there. He taught me more about success than anyone I've ever met. I decided that maybe he was my friend after all. From that day forward, when he did show up, I decided to embrace him and learn all I could from him. And the more I did this, the less I saw of him. My strange close friend is failure. Please listen to me. Failure is a friend who instructs you in the ways of success. Every time you fail, you succeed if you learn something. Every time you fail, you succeed if you learn something. Failure is success by the process of elimination. Never, never be afraid of failure. Instead of listening to what he has to teach you about yourself, about success, about perseverance, and about the wonderful grace of God. Now, get up, dust yourself off, and try again. You know what I come to the pulpit to tell you? Listen, preacher, I failed in some things. I mean significant things in my life. Get up, dust yourself off, and you know what? Learn from your failures and turn those failures into future successes. You know, Brother Peter was a great illustration of this. You know what? Everybody wants to talk about Peter sinking, but I'd like to talk about Peter walking. You know what? If you don't try anything, you're never going to fail. You can criticize him all you want, but you know what? The Bible, if we went back to that story, says, and he walked on the water to Jesus. Yeah, well, he failed. Well, he failed in trying. I'd rather see somebody try to do something for the Lord and fail at it than someone who'll sit on the bench and won't try anything. And so listen to me. Let's look back at failures. Come on now. The Holy Spirit, let him talk to you right now. Maybe there's one glaring thing that happened in this past year and you failed, and maybe you failed publicly. And by the way, sometimes those are the hardest failures to overcome. But you failed publicly. And you know what? Now there's a tendency to hold back. And it's the preacher, I'm just going to play it safe. And I think, no. Failure is your friend. Let's look back at failures. Let's go forward wiser. I think we ought to be smarter in 2013. I think we ought to be cleaner in 2013. Number three, here's another little formula for you. Let's look back at trials and let's go forward in faith. Let's look back at trials and let's go forward in faith. Pastor, I've had some heartbreak in 2012. I've had to face some trials and tribulation. Pastor, I've had to go through the fire of mistreatment and the cloud of being misunderstood. Now, listen, I'm not one of these people that you're going to read about in the magazine as you're going through the aisle there, predictions for 2013, you know. I can't wait. I'm already shocked that there hasn't been another date for the ending of the world set. I mean, you know, it's almost usually within 3 days of the one not working, they come up with a new date. I'm not a predictor of the future, but I will make an exception here. All right, let me predict something. In 2013, you're going to have some trials to face. In 2013, you're going to have to go through the fire again. 2013, you're going to face some tribulation. Say, how do you know that? Peter, by inspiration, wrote this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I want to teach you real quick how to respond. Preacher, some things overwhelmed me. Some things took me by surprise. Listen to me, I'm trying to help you. They shouldn't have. Preacher, I had to go through something and I was shocked. Bible says, think it not strange. Folks, when I am tested, when I face a trial, when I face a heartache, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. It's predicted in the Word of God. Look right up here. We need it. We need it. We need it. It's an important part of what God sends into our life to form us into who we ought to be. Now I'm going to even go farther than this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, but preacher, I was persecuted, I was misunderstood, I was doing right, and yet I was condemned. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Think about that. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We are to have a biblical reaction to fiery trials. You say, preacher, what is our biblical reaction? We're not to be surprised. Shouldn't be surprised. It's not some strange thing to happen to you. I'm always amazed when I have a Christian that comes to me and acts as if it isn't fair. Here's a question we always ask. Why me? And this may sound callous, but sometimes I want to look at somebody and say, why not you? Why not me? What? It's supposed to happen to everybody else in the world, but you're supposed to be the exception? Every single one of us, God is going to ask us to go through some fiery trials. You know why? Because it takes fire to burn off the dross. It takes fire to get away the impurities. It takes fire to refine us. It takes fire to prepare us and make us all that we ought to be for the Lord. It is going to happen. But I refuse to face 2013 in fear. I believe that I will face 2013 with faith. You see, Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Preacher, aren't you worried about it? I mean, do you have any idea what you're going to have to face? I have no idea what I'm going to have to face. I don't know what trials await me, but you know what? I don't have to. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Think about that. God says, don't draw back. Well, preacher, I'm afraid of what's in the future. I'm afraid, listen, I've got these trials and these testings I had to go through this year, and it scares me. What waits ahead? Don't draw back. He says, I have no pleasure in that. Step forward in faith. Step forward in faith. You see, watch this. For we know that all things work together for good, that them to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, there has to become this maturation process in your young Christian life where at some point you look at a brand new year and you say this, I trust God. I believe God. My life is in his hands. He's good. And anything that he asked me to go through, he's going to use it and work it somehow for good in my life. Are you getting this, church? Are you getting there? Are you with me out there? Look backwards at the trials of life, but don't let them discourage you. Matter of fact, put them under the microscope, and you know what you'll see? You'll see that God was closer to you during those times than he was probably at any other time during the year. And take those times and let them build your faith and charge forward into a new year. Here's another little formula that'll help you. Let's look back at the blessings. Let's go forward in anticipation. I think we ought to start 2013 clean. I think we ought to start 2013 smarter. I think we ought to start 2013 trusting in the Lord. But I think also we ought to start 2013 with a thankful heart. Let's look back at the blessings and let's go forward in the anticipation. Listen, folks. So many people look back as they close out a year and all they see and all they account for is the negatives. Preacher, this happened to me and this person died and we went through this and we went through this. All right, I understand that. I get it. It's in the fabric of every life. But have you ever counted your blessings? Let's not close out this year without counting our blessings. God has been good to all of us. Yes, all of us. I want to start 2013 being thankful. You see, when I'm thankful and I count my blessings, I look back on my blessings, you know what? It excites me about what God has in front of me. See, I believe this. We serve a good and gracious God. And he loves bestowing blessings upon his children. And he's blessed us this year. And you say, you're worried about the trials. I'm excited about the blessings. I mean, I received a lot of blessings in this past year. I wonder what God's got ahead for us. And for our church and for each of us individually. I got to watch Ariana turn 6. And Shaylee turned 4 in 2012. And Julia turned 3. And Laura turned 1. And Jackson turned 1. By the way, praise God. Praise God. I got to see that little boy turn 1 year old. Natalie was born. Did you get my mass text? Natalie was born. My 6th grandchild. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. 28 years of marriage to the love of my life. God's blessed me with a sweet marriage and a wonderful woman. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't owe me a thing other than that. Yeah, I mean, he spoiled me. God's been kind to our daughters and their husbands. He let me walk my baby girl down the aisle and hand her off. And me and my dear wife officially became empty nesters. Isn't God good? I got to pastor the greatest church in America. I know preachers say that and they don't mean it. I say it and mean it. We've served together through these last 12 months. We've sacrificed together. We've prayed together. We've wept together. We've witnessed together. We've rejoiced together. We roller skated together, cooked chili together. Took time to laugh together, played together, camped together, and ate often together. We graduated our kindergarten students. We graduated our high school students. We graduated some Bible college students. We ate cake together. Think about that. Lots of cake together. Our church families mourned the death of loved ones together and rejoiced at the birth of babies together. We have been blessed. God's allowed me to finish and publish three books he laid on my heart. I didn't know if they'd ever get done. He allowed me to preaching opportunities in 10 different states. He gave me the most productive summer I asked him for salvation of souls while preaching. In 3 months, God let me see over 100 people underneath my preaching walk the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at that. I asked him and he did that for me. I've been blessed. He's blessed our projects here at the church. He's blessed our outreach effort. By the way, the church looks better than it did a year ago. We demolished a lot of things. We built some things. We painted some things. We drywalled. I don't think in that order. But we've been blessed with new families and with a new and better spirit. God is good. We've been blessed. What do you say, preacher? I'm not dreading 2013. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I look forward in anticipation and excitement towards all that God is going to do in this place. I called a guy about 3 months in, a young man that's been kind of a semi-faithful tender here at the church. And beginning of the last year, he was pretty faithful, and then some things happened, and he got discouraged, and he quit coming to church. And I called him about 3 months into the church. And I'd been calling him and visiting him and trying to get him back on track. And I called him, and we just had a great Sunday. And I told him this. I said to the young man, I said this. I called his name, and I said, son, listen to me. You're missing it. You're missing it. Some of the most exciting things in the history of our church is happening, and you're sitting home. You're missing it. Come sit with your wife. Come be a part of it. Amen. Don't miss the messages. Don't miss the outreach opportunities. Don't miss the projects. Don't miss the miracles. You're missing it. You know what he chose to do the rest of the year? Miss it. And I grieve. And I grieve. Now listen to me. What I'm saying to you is this. I don't care what comes up in your life. Don't miss the blessings of God. You know what? The devil's going to try to do everything he can to discourage you. Don't miss the blessings of God. Don't miss them. Okay? I thank God that, you know what? During 2012, I was in my place doing exactly what God has called me to do. And you know what? Because of that, I got to see so many blessings. I'm going to give you one last thing. We're done. Number 5, let's look back at the victories. Then let's go forward with purpose. I believe we ought to start 2013 purposefully. I think we ought to start it clean. I think we ought to start it smart. I think we ought to start it trusting in God. I think we ought to start it with a thankful heart. But I also think we ought to start it very purposefully. You see, listen to me. One of the reasons, let me take you back, that we have enjoyed the blessings of God in 2012 is because when we walked into 2012, watch this, we walked in with a plan. We walked in with a purpose. We walked in asking God to do specific things here in this ministry. And because of that, we can stand here and look back and say, isn't God good? Isn't God gracious? Look what God did. Folks, listen to me. We're not entering 2013 without a plan. I mentioned to somebody in between services, we've got, and we covered this last Sunday night, introduced our theme. We also on the back information desk have a piece of paper with all of the key dates and all of the planned events for the upcoming year. I pray that every one of you would pick these things up. I pray that every month you'd say, hey, look, the church is going to have this and the church is going to do this. And listen, I hope that you'll get excited and you'll refuse to miss what God is going to do in this place in 2012. Look back at victories. But let's go forward with purpose. I can stand here and I can recall all the great things that God has done. But let me say this, we're about to close the book on that year. And I want to turn around to 2013. And I want us to rejoice, but I want us to go forward. What are you doing this year, preacher? We're going to take the candle and we're going to dip it in one more time. And then next year, we're going to take the candle and we're going to dip it in one more time. And then next year, we're going to take the candle. Listen, when someone comes along, here's a new formula. I think we'll just keep following the old formula, okay? We're just going to follow the Bible formula. We're just going to keep dipping the candle in and dipping the candle. Yeah, but this over here, and there's a new conference, and there's a book. Do whatever you want to, but I think I'm just going to keep dipping the candle in. Because you know what? If we keep following the formulas of this book, we can anticipate God's blessing into a new year. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you've been good to us and gracious, and you've blessed us. And Lord, you've allowed me the opportunity to stand and recount some of the personal blessings that I've received. And the honest truth is, maybe a bit unfair, because there's people all over this auditorium that can stand up and share miraculous blessings of God in their life in this previous year. Yes, Lord, interwoven with those blessings are some trials and tribulations and heartaches and failures and setbacks and definitely some sin, Lord, because we've all sinned. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do what Brother Isaac did, to keep waxing great, to understand that greatness is not achieved in a year or 2 years. It's not measured in months and days. It's measured in decades. May we consistently keep doing what you have called us to do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me talk very directly with you this morning. Listen to me. Don't start 2013 dirty. Don't start it dirty. Follow the formula. Would you please follow the formula? Let's look back this morning and let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring true Holy Spirit conviction to our heart in the areas where we've sinned, and let's get those things confessed and get them right, and let's go forward clean. Clean into a new year. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us look back and examine the failures and teach us what we need to teach, what we need to learn, so that we'll be wiser. Let's look back at the trials, yeah, even the bad things. And let's go forward in faith, trusting the Lord. Let's look back at the blessings and let's have a thankful heart. And then let's look back at the victories and say, you know what, those things were wonderful, but you know what, God still has victories ahead for each of us. Heavenly Father, please use this invitation, use this message far past the confines of this hour. May it be something that we meditate upon. May business be done, dear God. Holy and sacred communication between your children and their Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that we would please position ourselves going into 2013 right before you, right with our neighbor, excited, smarter, cleaner, better than we've ever been. Give this church and every person in this church the greatest spiritual year of their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.